This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
I hit it hard, man. So far, man.
Alex Gold off today. He is probably somewhere in Cancun sipping on a margarita.
He goes to Kansas City.
Kansas City? Why would anyone go to Kansas City? Why would you do that?
He drove his own car with his dog. He's with his dog in his own car. I'm not sure about this boy.
No, my goodness. I've done that before. I can tell you that ain't from Houston to Kansas City. Ain't exactly
around the block.
Yeah, and maybe if you split up the ride, the dog drives some, then you're fine. But goodness gracious, all that driving. So we got ourselves. I'm John Granato, along with Charlie Epps. Billy Harmon's going to join us in just a little bit. We got a lot to talk about. Patrick Reed last week. We got President's Cup coming up. We got slow play, Charlie.
And always Tiger.
Always Tiger. Obviously Tiger. He's sitting right outside of where he could pick himself. Well, he can pick himself. He's 13th right now on the President's Cup standings. And he's just not playing well, though. I don't know. I think if he looks at it objectively, he'd have to say, I just can't play, and captain too.
At this level, he's okay, but these guys are so much better than he is at 43.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
well,
you know.
I mean, well, he can say, well, did any of those guys win the Masters? I did.
That's right.
You know.
I mean, that was pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, I really think, John, you know, he's making his comeback. He won the Tour Championship last year in the tournament that he loves and plays into his hands,
right? But at 43 now, he's had four back surgeries, and all the issues are well known. But he can't sustain it. I mean, look at him.
That's
look,
right.
He just you don't know if you're going to get Tiger that's going to shoot 7 under or 7 over.
That's right.
So if I'm him, of course I'm not him, and Tiger has such a feels so good about himself, and well, he should. He's the greatest golfer, one of the greatest golfers of all time. But you got to be realistic.
Realistic.
So we'll talk about that. We've got Billy that's going to be coming up with us here in just a little bit to talk about this. He's got some thoughts on slow play. You got some thoughts on slow play.
Slow play.
It's just, and it's not just Bryson.
Oh, no.
J.B. Holmes is terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, the guys are, I mean, how PO'd was Brooks Koepka playing with him?
You think?
Yeah.
He should have hit him.
So you can't do that. We got a lot.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Well, Alex is off. John Granato sitting in for Alex. Let's go out and talk to our good friend, his palatial estate in Palm Springs. Billy Harmon joining us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. What's up, Billy?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
We are doing wonderfully. We were just looking at the TV. It's 1 year ago, Billy, that Charlie's grandson is in the Little League World Series. 1 year ago. What a great experience. And now, Charlie's...
To this day, I can't even imagine what it was like for the parents and Charlie and his beautiful wife. I can't even imagine what it must have been like. It must have been a thrill of a lifetime.
It really was. It was Christmas wrapped up in everything, you know. You couldn't believe that you were there, and the setup and the organization of how they put that event on in the town of Williamsport, Pennsylvania, is absolutely, it's middle America. I mean, and it's beautiful. All the people that live in the city make you so welcome, and they have parades, and then the ball games are so exciting.
Yeah.
Little League Baseball is, John, we went through that with your son.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Bel-Air.
Only not even close to where your grandson got to. And the pressure, I mean, and those kids are able to handle it, and they're on television, and they're getting interviewed, and everybody, you know, just how awesome, awesome. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I remember when my son was playing, and it was just so, so great. But to get all the way there and to play in that. And now, Billy, he's telling me Charlie can play. He can hit a golf ball now. He can. He's 13 years old, hitting a 300.
Well, I can't even spell 300, more or less hit it 300. So that's great.
It is awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's just a perfect example, Bill, of parents allowing their kids to play all the sports. If they can play baseball, they can play basketball, football. Volleyball is great. To develop their motor skills at ages of 10, 11, mm-hmm. and 12, that's, to me, where it's at.
Look at where Koepka was. He was a basketball player, right? Yeah. And then he said, then he got worked against Kansas, and he said, oh, I better go to golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look at how that worked out. So good stuff. Bill, we got a lot to talk about this week, and let's start with Patrick Reed and winning last week, and he's making it hard on Tiger, you know, who to pick for the President's Cup. Is he a pick of yours?
Well, like you said, he's going to make it hard. I think that moved him up to 12th, I believe, on the points. The one thing about Patrick Reed I find very interesting, Charlie, he's one of those guys, when it's his tournament to win, he wins it. And I watched a lot of that last round, and he did not play well for a great portion of that round. But he kept grinding and grinding and getting it up and in and getting it up and in. And then all of a sudden, starting on about the 14th hole, he made every putt he needed to make. When all the heat was on, Patrick Reed performed. And that seems to be his M.O. When he sinks his teeth into something, he can get it done. He looks to be real calm out there. He moves kind of slow. He thinks kind of slow. So, yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to consider him. I think the Captain America stuff is a little bit overblown. You know, he didn't have a good Ryder Cup. You play in enough of those events, you're not going to win all those matches. So he got off to a good start early in his career, and he won so many matches in the NCAA that everybody thought he was unbeatable match play. But, yeah, I think you'd have to consider him, that's for sure, John.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the kind of kids that really relishes to get in the last group, and he likes the camera on him, and he gets more relaxed, and he slows down actually in the last few holes, where a lot of guys will kind of get real antsy. He gets more under control, and his up and down were magnificent, and he didn't shy away.
It's such a team sport though, and he, I don't want to say he's not well liked on the tour, but he had his issues at the Ryder Cup, you know, that he and Jordan weren't paired together and had his feelings hurt, and then there was a little bickering back and forth about whether, you know, about how much they were liked or whatever. Does that play into it at all?
It's just minutiae, you know, that's really not, you gotta overlook.
I do
that.
Think it plays into it though, John, because he's not an automatic pick, you know, he's 12th, he's not 9th or 10th, so I would think that the team room would be a consideration. I wouldn't say it would be a final consideration, but I think if you were on the edge with one player or the other, and one player was more likable and stuff like that, I think it's human nature maybe to lean in that direction. So I would say it has something to do with the pick. If it's between two people of equal abilities, and one is good in the team room. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at the President's Cup in South Korea, and I don't think it's that he's bad in the team room. I think he's somewhat indifferent, would have been my observation. But I think his comments after the Ryder Cup last year about Furyk were really, really, really in very, very poor taste, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And well,
it'd keep me from picking him. I can honestly say that. If it were between two players of equal ability and equal on the points list, I'd have to say it might influence my pick anyway. Mm-hmm.
Does Tiger pick himself over Reed?
There's no way Tiger will pick himself because he can't play. You know, if he did pick himself, he could only play three matches. He can't play two. You know, by all accounts, Tiger's pretty much told us he can't practice, and he can't do any of the things that he needs to do. So I think if he picked himself, that would might be the worst pick in history. No, I really do. Yeah. He's just not physically able to do it, and with all the other responsibilities. And, Charlie, I've heard from the guys that have played on the teams where he's been a vice captain, and I believe that Davis Love also told me that he is incredibly involved, unbelievably prepared, has three different scenarios each day for pairings. There's windy, rainy, good weather. And so I think he's going to be consumed with his captaincy and the fact that he's really not on his game right now. I think it's a non-issue. I don't think there's anywhere in the world to pick himself.
What about guys picking a Matthew Wolf?
I like that. I like that young.
Get him some experience. Yeah. Put him in a couple matches as opposed to every match. That young guy is so fiery. He could dominate in a singles match. And you get him that experience because he could be here for a long time to come, yeah. Bill.
But what about Colin Morikawa? He's actually, you know, playing in this tournament. Matthew Wolf did not make it this far. This kid's got a second and a win. He's actually performed better than Matthew Wolf. Matthew Wolf is the trendy pick because of his swing and his distance and all that stuff. And I get it, by the way. I would like for Tiger to pick one of those two. I could tell you that right now. But this Morikawa has won once and finished second to Matthew Wolf, and his start here is more impressive than Wolf. So I wouldn't just reduce it to Matthew Wolf. I think you'd have to give Colin equal consideration anyway.
Mm-hmm. That'd be interesting to take. And you know what? It might be. Listen, that could be that's a long-term play.
Yeah.
A young guy getting that experience would be huge.
I like it.
Just like they picked Jordan in 2009.
Yeah. I like it. President's, I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, can I talk? No.
Yeah. what about Jordan? Guys, what about Jordan?
I'm keeping you from making mistakes, Charlie.
Atta boy. It's already started. First shot's fired. And nothing's changed since I've been here, boys.
Nothing's
changed.
It's great. It's
okay,
great.
So what about Jordan Spieth? What's going on there, Bill?
So let Charlie talk.
Okay, Charlie, what's going on?
You know, he can't hit an iron. He can't hit his greens. To me, he went after distance instead of keeping his game the way it was. And he can hit it 300 now, but he can't hit his wedge on the green. And when he, you know, he's had 21 one putts in the first 36 holes of this tournament. So he just can't get it on the fairway and then on the green.
Yeah, you'd have to say that his long game, at best, we could say, has been erratic. And he hasn't been able to really sustain any good ball striking. He'll have it for a day or two, and then he loses it. So usually in a case like that, for all players, not just singling him out, that means that they're constantly putting Band-Aids on stuff, Charlie. And there has to be a swing issue there that maybe needs to be addressed. I think, and this is nothing against Cameron at all, but maybe a different viewpoint, not necessarily changing coaches, but maybe allowing him a different viewpoint might be good. I know Butch has done that over the years with some of his players, sent him to Peter Cowan for a different viewpoint. Maybe a different set of eyes, a different voice now might be good for him, because this ball striking, it's a slump now, I would say. And it appears to maybe, you know, these guys are human, Charlie, and when they play bad all the time and hit it bad, it erodes your confidence. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting that he got stronger physically, but he never changed his grip. I think he's got one of the worst grips of a good player that I've ever seen.
Mm. All right, we'll cut it there. We got a lot more to talk about. We'll take a little break here, talk a little slow play on the other side of the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
All right. Alex is off this week. I am in. John Granato here in studio with Charlie in Houston. And Billy Harmon is in his palatial estate in Palm Springs. Let's talk a little bit. The controversy this week is Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka going back and forth. Not only Koepka, but a few guys are upset. And it's not only Bryson DeChambeau. J.B. Holmes is also glacial. His pace, the way he sets up. And Brooks Koepka had something to say about that. He says, well, be ready. Be ready. These guys say he doesn't put on his glove. He doesn't know his yardage. And while the other guy's hitting, he's standing there instead of getting ready for his shot. That would alleviate a lot of these problems.
You know, that it's just like the on deck circle in baseball.
Get ready.
And get ready. Look, you know, you're up. You're going to be up. You got to be ready. And to have J.B. Holmes absolutely, how they can justify him taking 4.5 minutes. To hit a shot, that's just ludicrous. And Bill, I asked Bill who should make the rules for slow play, and Bill, your opinion is?
I think the tour, but I think, Charlie, we've talked about this over the years. I think the tour should be able to make their own rules for their tour. Mm-hmm. I'll let everybody else play by the USGA rules, but The officials must have their hands tied behind their back, John, because some of them are former players. And former players, believe me, don't want to see DeChambeau taking 2.5 minutes on an 8-foot putt on a Friday, you know. And so for some reason, they are reluctant to penalize them strokes. To me, that is the only thing that's really going to change it. One warning, and after that, 2-stroke penalties. And, I think sometimes they're extenuating circumstances, but that shouldn't be that hard to figure out. But an 8-foot putt is really not an extenuating circumstance on a Friday, in my opinion. So I just think the only way to really, from a player's standpoint, you know, DeChambeau, I don't know this, but DeChambeau might, you know, have some obsessive compulsive stuff that he just can't pull the trigger unless everything is the way he wants it. But the problem is you affect the other players. And once you affect your playing partners, in my opinion, all bets are off. And that's when the penalty has to come down. And it does affect the people playing with him. J.B. Holmes affects it. So the etiquette of the game is you respect people's rights to play their strokes. And when you're playing real slow, you're not respecting that right. I think something has to be done about it, but I'd be very surprised if anything is done about it.
So how does, and by the way, these two guys are going to be on the President's Cup together. DeChambeau is in 7th place right now, so he's a qualifier. Does it affect the locker room at all?
Well, sure.
It sounds like they've already spoken about it, and they're okay about it. You know, well, they went face-to-face, I guess.
Yeah. And, but they'll always say that, though, won't they?
I don't, you know, I think the locker room stuff can be slightly overrated in the sense that, you know, the players have to play. This notion that all 12 guys like each other on every team is not correct. But by and large, these guys play all the time together. And I think it's not that much of an issue. I think what, you know, Patrick Reed calling out the captain is an issue more than a guy who plays slow in a team event, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at the NFL. They just came down with a ruling that they can, you know, use video on pass interference.
Right.
They corrected a mistake within their house. Correct.
Right.
That horrible call.
Right, right.
You know.
New Orleans,
so
right.
I think the PGA Tour has to get together and say, okay, guys, this is hurting our game. We don't need negative press all the time. We're grown men. We know the game. Let's put this in effect for next year.
In football, in basketball, you got shot clocks, right? Yeah. It's so much different though in golf. It's so much different. Exactly. When does that, you know, when do you put the clock on the guy? Obviously when it's his turn to hit, but like you said, Bill, an 8-foot putt, it's ridiculous to take 2.5 minutes. It's just ridiculous. And it just hurts. It does.
That is ridiculous.
Does he have some kind of, some kind of issue, like you said,
well,
mentally.
How about J.B. Holmes on the first hole of the last round there of the British Open?
Yep.
Koepka had the honor, and he had no idea what club he wanted to hit, hitting second. took all this time. I mean, he's had all morning to figure out what club he's going to hit off the first tee. He knows what the wind is when he's warming up, right, Charlie?
Yeah. I mean,
and then he gets up with that club and hits it out of bounds. And then he changes clubs. See, stuff like that to me is inexcusable.
Right.
There are times when you have a very difficult shot. You could be in the trees. You got to make a decision, lay up, chip out, go for it, whatever. I get that. But the very first hole of that tournament, hitting second off the first tee, had no idea what club he wanted to hit. Took all day to do that, and then picked one and hit it out of bounds, then took all day to change clubs. And so that kind of stuff is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
DeChambeau's taking 2.5 minutes to putt an 8-footer on a Friday is ridiculous, you know. And you say, well, my caddy, well, the caddy's part of the team, so he'll be part of the penalty. Right, mm-hmm. Charlie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, he loses money too. Yeah. He loses money too.
That's right.
So, do you guys agree with Koepka? There's two clubs, guys. Okay, either you're going to be long or you're going to be short.
That's right.
So it's
not
that
he's
hard.
He's right to an extent.
Is he right?
Yeah, I believe 100% in a player like Koepka. Hey, let's go.
But is it when you're standing up when you're 160 out?
Yeah.
Is it between the wedge and the nine, and that's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's black and white. Bill's caddied, you know, thousands of shots. If
we're on a course, John, that we've played a lot on, I can almost tell you after his tee shot, the two clubs from the tee.
Right.
That we'll be talking about when we get there.
And then?
And by that time, I've looked at the yardage book. I know where the pin is. They know where the pin is, so we already know where the miss is.
Right.
So in a way, we're already formulating subconsciously, really, Charlie, the shot. Now, when we get there and we get the yardage, then we have to figure out which one. But for the most part, we got a pretty good idea on probably 50% of the holes after we see the drive, what's going to be the club selection. So I think some of DeChambeau's stuff might be just a condition that he almost can't help himself, and he just can't pull the trigger unless everything is perfect. But that's not the other player's problem.
Right.
That's his problem.
Is this a relatively
and he needs to correct it?
Is this relatively new, Charlie? When you were out there, did you ever get affected by somebody slow playing?
Oh, well, sure. There's always slow players. Yeah. There's always.
You know, Jack
slow
was very slow for many years.
He got it.
He figured out a way. He walked a lot faster. But I think Jack was slower over the ball, don't you think, Charlie?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't putt until he saw the ball go in the hole visually.
Yeah.
And he was penalized the first tournament he played in, Joe Black.
Really?
But Jack was very slow once he got over the golf ball.
Yeah.
But it wasn't 2 minutes.
Well, we've had Kevin Na, who couldn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
We've had Sergio re-gripping so often, you know, and that stuff. Billy, when you were caddying for Jay, were you guys ever frustrated with guys?
Oh, absolutely, you're frustrated because I think at the basic level it's very selfish and self-centered, and the etiquette of the game is based on I respect Charlie's right to hit his stroke, and he does the same with me. And when you start messing with my time, then it's not fair. And then if the group gets put on the clock, you see, then the other guys who aren't slow. Right, Charlie? They have to speed up.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a lesson.
So everything about it, to me, at its basic level, is selfish and self-centered and disrespectful to the game and the etiquette of the game, and nobody is bigger than that, not J.B. Holmes, not DeChambeau, or anyone. So I don't understand why they're so reluctant to address the problem.
Yeah, and this is a lesson, too, for not only the pros, but when we play out there, you know, guys who take a long time, it's frustrating. You just want to, you know, keep it moving, especially in Palm Springs and Houston where it's 9,000 degrees. Okay, so let's keep the play going, everybody. Don't slow it down. We're slowing down just for a minute here, but don't you go anywhere. We got a couple rounds to go here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Alex on vacation this week. He'll be back next week after his little trip up to Kansas City. So guys, we're in the playoffs right now. And I don't know. You guys probably don't remember, but I'm not thrilled with the playoffs the way it is. You know, in every other sport, you get into the playoffs no matter if your record was good enough, you get in. You don't get more points if you had a better record during a regular season. You start at scratch. So why don't they play last week the top 70 advance, this week the top 30 advance, and then if you win the tour championship, you won the FedEx Cup. So, you know, that's how you do it in every other sport. When the playoffs start, everything, all that regular season is gone. This is so confusing for the fan. I finished 52nd, but yet I'm in the top 30. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know that maybe you – I don't know how you can do it any – I mean, I think that this is too confusing for the fans to grasp. I don't get it, if you want to know the truth.
I couldn't agree with you more, John. I've always been – why do we have to have playoffs? Golf is a game of tournaments. You have 49 tournaments a year. You have four majors. You know, you're trying to reinvent the wheel. But the one thing that they did is they put more money in the game because FedEx stepped up and said, okay, the winner's going to get $15 million.
Well, that's fine. I get it.
It's all about
money. But if you win the tour championship, you should win the $15 million, right?
Yeah.
So, Billy, I don't know. Where do you stand on this playoff right now?
You know, funny, I was talking this morning to Frank Beard, former tour player, and we were both saying that we really don't understand the last part with the guy starting out minus 10 and this and that. And Frank said what it's done, it's diminished the tour championship. That used to be a big deal for the players to get in that top 30. I'm with you. I don't really understand it. I don't get it. I understand that FedEx deserves all the attention and the publicity because they're putting up the money, putting up a lot of money, by the way. But they haven't been able to seem to get it right, would be my just feeling about this. I'm not too sure I know what the right thing to do is. You know, in a perfect world, I'd like to see him just take the top 30, Charlie.
Yeah.
And then play for it that last tournament.
That's right.
That's what I'd like to see. But the way it is now, I find it very confusing. The only thing I really like about it is the elimination part of it. I think it's interesting to watch these guys on the bubble try to make a birdie to stay in, or they bogey and they get out. But that shouldn't be what it's all about, to be honest with you. It should be about who's going to win. So I don't really know what the answer is. It seems like it should be a one-tournament event, but I doubt if FedEx is going to put up that kind of money and not have the publicity that they have over the three events.
Right.
Well, over the whole year. I mean, they're always promoting the FedEx points, the FedEx Cup, and they're getting their dollar, you know, evidently because they're putting the money up.
Yeah, as well they should. I mean, I've got nothing against promoting the FedEx Cup all year long. It's just how they're doing it.
Yeah.
And if it's in a playoff format, like they're saying, this is a playoff, then make it, you know what, you got to perform. I got a problem with, I don't even have to play in it and I advance. Right? I mean, the first week, you don't even have to play if you're Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson or any of the guys at the top of the leaderboard. You don't even have to play and you advance.
Yeah.
Well, that's no playoff is like that.
No.
You have to show up and you have to perform.
That's right, yeah.
So
it'd be interesting if they made the last one the low 32 and this had match play.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Head-to-head.
That'd be cool.
You keep advancing and whoever wins is the FedEx Cup champ.
They had it match play one year, and Jeff Maggart won, and that didn't get anybody excited.
Yeah,
no, those are the match play event. That wasn't a FedEx fun.
Yeah, right. Well, right. So
they have a match play tournament every year, Charlie, as you well know.
Yeah.
And that's fun. Well, but you got to be. It gets down to television, and whether or not how good it is for television. But if it came down to $15 million bucks, you know, and you're the FedEx champion, then that might catch on. I don't know.
Well, last year, Tiger and Phil played for $10 million.
Yeah. Nothing.
And nobody cared.
Well, that was –
They cared last year with Tiger and Rory in the last group of the at East Lake.
Yeah, that was very compelling.
Yeah. But they
it
should,
was compelling.
Tiger and Phil should have done that in 2006. Yeah.
But unfortunately, Justin Rose won the won the FedEx Cup, but didn't win the tournament.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's happening right now. I'll tell you what, this Patrick Cantlay is playing pretty good. He's in the President's Cup right now. He's the eighth place guy, so he's going to qualify automatically. I like his game.
Oh, he's so long.
Very good player.
So long with those irons. I mean, he has a hiccup with his putter every now and then, but his ball striking is really pretty neat.
He's like sneaky. He's really, really sneaky.
Any guy that can put his ankle back together again and finish a hole out is pretty tough.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, okay, so I want to...
When did Cantlay do that?
No, it wasn't Cantlay.
No, we were talking about Finau.
Finau.
You let him talk long enough, John. He's going to hang himself.
Yeah. We were talking about Finau. Pay attention. We went from
Cantlay. We were talking about Cantlay.
Yeah, that's all right. Don't worry. Let's do this. I want to ask you guys this. We got Brooks Koepka as our player of the year now, right? I don't think there's any question about that.
Right.
Is there a comeback player?
Comeback player, Tiger.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick. Yeah, winning the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, and yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who else would be.
Bill, anybody else you got?
Well, you know who's really been playing well, but probably hasn't won enough would be Lucas Glover's.
He's
been playing good. It's really hard to say. I don't see a real standout this year. I can't really say. You know, I can see Tiger being in the mix because of the 15th major, but he did win the tour championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't see anybody really standing out personally.
Did anybody break through? Is there a breakthrough player this year? A guy who was kind of in an anonymity and now all of a sudden.
I think those three young kids, Hovland and Murakawa and Wolf, I think, you know, just the way they arrived on the scene, Charlie, it's very rare that three guys do what they've done. Don't you think that to come right out of college and have their game immediately translate to PGA Tour and you know, get two of them winning, and Hovland probably has played consistently better than all the other two.
Yeah, well, and rightfully so. I mean, we know how they're prepared in college, but even the college kids, you know, they have access to the Masters and the Open, so they're playing, you know, a lot more golf, and they're not intimidated by the tour anymore.
Yeah, no.
You know, John, maybe Gary Woodland winning the U.S. Open would kind of be a little bit of an upset, I think, based on, you know, he's always been a good player, but not a big winner. And I think most people would never thought that he putted good enough to win a major, but he's changed that around, too.
Yeah.
Max Homa, too, is a guy that could be a comeback player of the year. He was a great college player, lost all credentials and came back and won at Quail Hollow. So there's a few, but nobody that really stands out to me.
Yeah,
well, Cantlay, he's gone through some bad times.
I like that
with his bad back and losing his friend, dying right there in his arm. So I mean, there's some compelling stories. Justin Thomas, you know, he's had 8 weeks of injury this year. I won seven times last year, and this year he hadn't won yet. So he's my pick to win this weekend.
He is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's playing well. He had an injury, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
A wrist.
He had the wrist. So, hey, we know that destroyed Billy Ray Brown's career, didn't it?
Billy Ray Brown, yes, it sure did.
I mean, the wrist is so important, and you wonder, well, what's wrong with Justin Thomas? Well, how about he can't hit a ball?
Yeah.
And that's how tough it is. If you could, you would vote for Morikawa, I would think, as Rookie of the Year, right, Bill?
I think you have to. He's got a first and a second in about six tournaments, and he's still playing this week, you know, with an outside chance. You don't have to play really good this weekend. But, you know, Matthew Wolf did not make it to this event. So I would have to say that Collins performed better than the other two.
You too, Charlie?
Yeah, I think so. I think overall, you know, you put everybody's body of work and him making the tour championship, and he only played, what, in six tournaments? He's averaging $200,000 a week. Or, you know, he's got some good numbers on the board.
Boy, if golf is so funny. Last year at this time, nobody could beat Francesco Molinari, right? I mean, he was unstoppable. What a year he had and how good he was at this point. It seemed like he's down. And then this year, it's just meh. It's just meh. I mean, you think, and Brooks Koepka's out here last few weeks, and he's going along fine. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But he's such a dominant player. And this week, you know, he's fine. It's just such a funny game. That you could be so good and then just not. I mean, because like in like at the Astros in baseball or Golden State, when you're dominating, you're the dominant team. In this, you could be dominating and then disappear.
Dustin Johnson keeps going backwards.
Yeah. He, yeah.
Bill, I'm surprised how he's kind of gone backwards in the last few weeks.
Yeah, he was right there at the Liberty National and then played a very indifferent weekend for him and. He started driving it sideways, which is interesting because he usually drives the ball so beautifully. So I was a little surprised to see that last week, him not playing well on the weekend. And, you know, he's one of those guys, he's so good, John, that you unfairly, you expect him to win every week. But it's a lot easier to talk about winning than it is actually to win. But, you know, he's still, what, top three or four in the world. And it just, I think we have very high expectations for him because his talent level really appears to be better than everybody's.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's the same with Koepka, no? I mean,
yeah.
Every time he tees it up, you think, well, that guy's going to win. And it's unfair to you know, because I'm talking about Koepka playing meh. He's 5-under. He's, you know, so, but that's just, that's the expectations now for that guy.
Tiger spoiled us, I think.
Yeah. Yep, that's one guy that was Golden State for what, 15 straight years?
15, 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. It's 52 after the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, brought to you by Insperity, inspiring business performance. A quick break, and we'll wrap it up. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
All right. Well, I haven't talked to you guys since the Open Championship.
The Open Championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I picked Shane Lowry.
Yes.
That day. That was that weekend.
Did you really?
And, yeah, I did. I picked Shane Lowry to win, and he went on to win. And, Chip, Billy, you had said you think it's one of the best stories if he would have won. And boy, is he! It looks like, and I love that. It looks like he's enjoying it. He's
big
going
time.
Everybody everywhere with it. He's drinking beer
for a week.
Nonstop. He was on all the talk shows and everything
he
else.
Spent more time on the floor too.
What a great story! What a great story. Now the problem is when you win something like that, is can you bounce back? Because we've seen so many guys. Bubba Watson winning the Masters and he disappears for. You know,
yeah.
Mike Weir, all these guys that disappear. Danny Willett.
One and done.
Yeah, you know, one and done. Is Shane Lowry a one and done guy, Bill?
I'd be very surprised if he won another major personally, and for some of the reasons that you're explaining.
His training regimen.
And that's not a knock against him, but I think he's kind of one of the boys. Doesn't appear to work out. You know, he's a natural player, beautiful player, by the way. But I don't think I'd be very surprised if he won another major, and that's not a knock on him at all. One of the great stories in golf, and but I don't think he's a one of those guys that golf is everything to him and things of that nature. So I think he's a wonderful player, and he'll win many more tournaments. But I'd be very surprised if he won another major.
Made his career already. I mean, he's forever in the lore, the Irish lore, right?
You think there's a bar in Ireland that he can go in and not get a drink?
Oh my goodness! He can drink anywhere he wants for free forever after that week. That's just good stuff. And you're right, Bill. I mean, like a Bruce Litsky. And you know what? He didn't pick up his clubs again when it was off season, and then he goes start again. But what a great career! What a wonderful career! And yet you have other interests.
Well, I think Jack, and I've always said this. One of my favorite quotes is, "Don't make golf more important than it really is." Jordan Spieth is in a slump, really bad, because he's making the game more important than it really is. If he just sit back, take some time off, go fishing, let his body regenerate. Don't you think, Bill, at times these players are just too consumed with having the perfect position?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one, Charlie, because that's probably the energy that got him to be that good. I remember the very first tour championship that Jay Haas qualified for. He told me the one thing that struck him the most of the top 30 players, he was the one that played the most tournaments. And then the top 15 were the 15 guys that played the least amount of tournaments.
It was great.
So there is something to staying fresh and not worn out and all that stuff. And then the other side of the coin says, how do you get worn out playing golf? So.
It was a great pairing yesterday. Jay Davis and who was it?
Freddie,
that was good TV.
Well, it was fun talking with you guys again.
Thanks, John, for coming in.
Very enjoyable here on SB Nation. I appreciate it. I'll go back next week. Y'all have a great golf week. We will talk. Well, these guys will talk to you again next week. So long, everybody.